out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 10th of May, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at Radio Arian, of course. Just before I introduce my co-host, I've just got a bit of news. Jez Turner was in court today, and we had hoped to be able to actually give out the date and the time before he was actually there so that supporters could go along, and they played a really dirty trick on him this time. He knew that it was going to be some day this week, but they didn't actually tell him it was going to be today until last night. So it was too late for us to put the word out to get many supporters there. But I'm sure he still had supporters there, but I do know many of our listeners would have liked to have known about it and to either attend or just to pray for him or send well wishes towards him, good wishes towards him. Anyway, hopefully he did well, and I'll have some more news from that hopefully by tomorrow. Okay, back to normal. And of course, as it's Thursday, we have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson with us. Matt, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing better. What we have to talk about today is definitely a white pill. And it may not seem obvious at first, but it is connected to everything that we're talking about now.
Well, it certainly seems interesting to me. It's not something we normally talk about, but of course, you know, geopolitics is what we normally do when we have you on. But we don't often look at Turkey and what's going on there. And this is pretty interesting. Will Turkey leave NATO, and what will happen if they do? And of course, this also ties in with Russia. The first news report that I've got here, this is one that came out today, I believe. Turkey is seriously considering withdrawing from NATO. As the relationship with the alliance continues to worsen, Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu warned of retaliatory actions if the American bill about sanctions against Turkey becomes law. And this is the first time I've heard of this bill. At the end of last week, US lawmakers published information about the annual funding of defense in the amount of $717 billion. The document temporarily bans selling weapons to Turkey. If the United States imposes sanctions on us or takes such a step, Turkey will respond to it, Cavusoglu said, adding that the United States should refuse such an intention. The US bill largely comes as a response to Turkey's recent purchase of S-400 air defense systems from Russia. Although Turkey's relations with Russia are far from friendship, the deal raised many concerns at NATO and the United States. The Russian arms systems, as experts say, are incompatible with NATO defense systems. In April, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told Cavusoglu that the US was seriously concerned about Turkey's move to purchase S-400 air defense systems from Russia, meaning, of course, that US defense contractors of air defense systems were not enthusiastic either. Cavusoglu criticized NATO's fears over the purchase of Russian weapons and accused the alliance of trying to control Turkey and infringe on its sovereignty. Turkey is not accountable to you. This is an independent country. Dictating what we can and cannot buy is not the right approach, and nor does it comply with the rules of our alliance, he said. Well, this is the first I've really heard about this, Matt. I didn't realise that America was going to be placing Turkey under sanction. I mean, that's normally done against quote-unquote rogue states. And yet I thought Turkey was such an important ally against Syria. Now, sure, this must tie in with what's going on in Syria as well. So what's this all about, Matt?
This is one of the most significant developments I've covered in a while. NATO is going to fall apart. France is looking for any excuse to leave, as she's left in the past. Turkey and the U.S. are almost equal in terms of active duty forces. They're both, you know, America's 1.4 million, Turkey's 1 million. It's the second largest army in NATO by far. Without Turkey, the U.S.'s operation in the Middle East is going to have to come to a halt, because everything seems to revolve around the Incirlik Air Base in Turkey. So much revolves around Turkish membership in NATO. About 5 years ago, I reported that they were working on Turkey was working on a missile shield with China, and that's when all of these riots and protests, just a color revolution, just suddenly and spontaneously developed in the capital. He got the message, became pro-American again, and then after the coup, whether it was real or not, I don't know, but after the coup and after the, you know, almost destruction of Turkey on Russia's hands, she's made overtures both to Russia and to China. And we'll be buying what's called the SA-21 Growler air defense system, as well as many other systems. NATO regulations say that everything, all of your military equipment has to be interchangeable with everybody else's. So you can't buy this, you know, no one else has it, and they don't know how to work it. They don't have spare parts for it. So this is a blatant spit in the face of NATO. This is a post-coup, thing. And apparently I'm hearing that the Eurasianist movement has taken over the Turkish military. Now, you can't believe much that you hear in the American press. The Turkish military has not been crippled or anything else, but this is something that the prime minister has wanted for a long time. The U.S. threatened him with the color revolution, and then, now he's back again. He's a bit of an opportunist, but I think he's always been a Eurasianist. And without Turkey, there is no NATO, because the rest of the European armies are, you have two NATO members with no soldiers, Iceland and Albania. Well, unless you count, you know, drug lord bodyguards. But if you don't count them, they have zero soldiers. So there's very little in NATO outside of Turkey and the U.S. And this is a huge white pill for us, because it's going to crush that alliance. It's going to crush American credibility. And the Russian, you know, the nationalist alliance worldwide has a new very, very, very powerful ally.
So it's NATO is basically these Turkish forces. They are the majority of the actual boots on the ground, and Turkey is now basically giving two fingers to NATO by buying its weaponry from Russia. But what about these sanctions? How are they going to affect Turkey if America goes through with them?
Turkey's not a huge economic partner, really, with the U.S. Turkey, as you know, borders the old Soviet Union. There's far more to lose in angering Russia than angering the Americans. Whether or not the Europeans are going to go along with these sanctions, I don't know. But, you know, a lot of the other big issue too is the U.S. supporting, the Kurdish movement in Syria, and the Turks have been fighting a war with them for, God, you know, decades now. It's another stupid move on the West part. But Turkey, you know, Turkey is a dangerous enemy. My father fought with the Turks in Korea, and he spoke about them with a mixture of amazement and horror. They were almost psychotic. They were so brave. They lost unnecessary men in battle. They love hacking their enemies to pieces. They love knives and scimitars and stuff like that. And he almost admired them. This is not an enemy that Washington wants to make.
Yeah, pretty barbaric in war. I mean, these are the Ottomans, aren't they? The Turkmen. It's the Turkmen that St. George was fighting against in one of our mummers' plays. But it seems that it would make more sense for Turkey to have an alliance with Russia than with America. If that's the country that is right next door, you would think that America would be desperate to keep Turkey in this alliance rather than trying to place sanctions on her. I've got another article here, and this is from February, I think it was. It says Turkey no longer wants to keep its membership in the alliance. This is evidenced by the inconclusive visit of U.S. Secretary of State, former U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, to Ankara in February this year. Is NATO going to let Turkey go? Having visited a number of countries in the Persian Gulf, US Secretary of State Rex Tillerson had a four-hour conversation with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Ankara. Contrary to everyone's expectations, no joint press conference was given afterwards. One may assume that Ankara and Washington are de facto in opposite geopolitical camps, largely because of the attempted coup d'etat in 2016, which Washington supported and hit the instigators. Now, this is interesting because maybe we should remind listeners of what happened there, because Russia was involved in this as well. Because up until this point, Russia and Turkey had almost come to blows. And then because of this coup d'etat, Russia warned Erdogan before it actually happened. So then they were, they were basically friends again. But I wasn't so certain that Washington had actually supported this and hid the instigator. So maybe you should remind us of the background of this coup d'etat and what happened between Russia and Turkey at the time, Matt.
Well, we did a whole show on it, if you remember. I'm struggling to remember, but we did a whole show on the coup. And what eventually happened was that Erdogan purged the civil service, purged the educational system, purged the military of any pro-Western element. He essentially blamed the West for this, and this is one of the things that pushed him into the Russian camp, the so-called Eurasianist camp, which is very, very popular in Turkey. And the economic idea is very simple. There is no economic future in the West. Now, you don't have to be an economist to understand that. In buying this missile system, they're essentially joining a geopolitical alliance, which includes India, China, and Russia. It's more than just a missile system. It's a statement. But the coup killed about 200 people. It failed miserably. The West has exaggerated the number of military men that have been purged, but those who have been purged were pro-Western. Now, in the United States, for example, from 2011 to 2014, the Obama administration purged over 200 high-ranking Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine officers. So this is something the U.S. has no business talking about. So essentially what he did was purify the military of Atlanticist elements and create this Eurasianist ally of Russia in the process. But it doesn't affect the fact that, Turkey still has roughly 900,000 men under arms, and no one else in NATO but the U.S. is anywhere near the strength of Turkey. And you have countries like France who are just looking for an excuse to leave. And this is going to be the unraveling of neoliberalism, because this is its military wing. It's a very exciting development.
Well, I remember at the time that Washington was saying, oh, no, it was nothing to do with the people that you are saying it is. It was down to. And Washington was refusing to hand over these people to be questioned. They were saying, oh, no, they're in America. They had nothing to do with it. But of course, everyone is connected nowadays with the internet. So that they may have been in Washington, but they may have been in communication with the coup plotters. And Putin warned him beforehand. Putin had intelligence that this coup was going to happen. And yet Washington, America, is supposed to be Turkey's great NATO ally, but America didn't warn them. Putin did, which put, that basically put relations with Russia right, because Turkey had been against Russia because of Russia's role in protecting Assad in Syria. So you could guess that America is going to be pretty annoyed at this, that instead of taking down Erdogan and putting in a liberal regime in place, instead what's happened is Turkey and Russia have made friends, which is something that they really, really didn't want. So, you know, I think that we've got to bear that in mind when we think about this as well, about what's happening. And the next part in this article is about the Kurds. It says Erdogan considers the policy of the USA support for the Kurds in Syria a gross insult. Ankara makes no distinction between the Syrian Kurdish militia, which is the YPG, and the Kurdistan Workers' Party, the PKK, a terrorist organization, which the Turks have been struggling against since the 1980s, accusing the organization of attempts to undermine Turkey's integrity. This confrontation has claimed the lives of nearly 40,000 people. So what do you know about these Kurdish militias then, Matt, the YPG and the PKK?
I'm not going to claim expertise in that, but there is one group of people who know them intimately, and that's the Turks. And the Turkish position is that they're essentially one organization. They disagree on certain things, but in terms of their ethnic affiliation, you know, the U.S. has had this love affair with the Kurds for a long time. They appeared when they were trying to destabilize Saddam Hussein. They were searching for allies. The PKK is a communist movement, a terrorist movement, that never was supported by the Soviet Union. And, you know, Russians had no love for it. They were very extreme. I'm not sure if they really had a functional ideology at all, really, though. And I have the feeling that drugs played a role in their financing, kind of like in Colombia. You know, you had the communist groups, you know, piggybacking on drug lords. But the U.S. has always been arming them, demanding a Kurdistan, an independent state. And no one in the area wants that because the Kurds are very unpopular in the area. And, you know, the U.S. has, yeah, this has done nothing to help the relations between the U.S. and Turkey. But the Turks say, no, this is essentially one national movement under different labels. The U.S. doesn't know what it's talking about. We're fighting them every day. We know. But the U.S., of course, arrogantly does what it wants.
It just does seem that America doesn't really know what's going on there. At least Donald Trump really doesn't seem to know what's going on there, blaming Iran for what's going on in Yemen when it's the Saudis that are bombing the hell out of Yemen. But back with these Kurds, I mean, they're spread out over four different countries, I believe. So, you know, to give them Kurdistan would mean Iraq would lose a bit of land, Syria would lose a bit of land, Turkey would lose a bit of land. And they're like a tribe. And they didn't actually have a claim to the land. And when the borders were drawn, either after the First War or the Second War, they just ended up being a part of these countries. So you can't understand them having a drive to wanting their own homeland. But of course, they're going to be seen as terrorists by these other groups. And I think that's why they're working with America against ISIS, is because these Kurds want America to put pressure on these countries to give them their own place. And I think that's what America was hoping to do. When America said we're going to stay in Syria and we're going to set up a border force to patrol the border. And in that you think, well, what border? You know, Syria can patrol its own border. Turkey can patrol its own border. And what they were talking about, I believe what they were inferring was a border of a new Kurdistan area, which is why Turkey then went in to Afrin and took out these Kurds, who are basically the main force that America has against ISIS, as we'll learn about in this next quote that we've got here. The relations between NATO's nominal allies exacerbated after Turkey launched a military offensive on the city of Afrin in northern Syria, trying to stop the Syrian Kurds from gaining a foothold in the region. On February 14th, Erdogan threatened the United States with an Ottoman slap, which is a deadly blow of Turkish soldiers, if the US-supported Kurds refused to leave the city of Manbij. Turkish Defense Minister Nurettin Kinikli demanded Washington should exclude the YPG from the alliance of the armed opposition forces in Syria, the so-called Syrian Democratic Forces, supported by the United States. It is unclear, however, how this can be achievable because the YPG is the basis of the SDF. It is not clear either how they can leave Manbij as long as American advisers are staying there. So such a move would mean the direct surrender of their positions in Syria. To crown it all, Washington does not have any other ground forces on Syrian territory. In a nutshell, all of Turkey's demands on the United States are impracticable. It does seem there's no real way out from this, is there?
Well, there is a the so-called Kurdistan stretches over four countries, and the fourth one is Iran, so-called Eastern Kurdistan. So this is also an anti-Iranian movement of the U.S. This is one of the many reasons the U.S. is, you know, the Kurds are kind of like this mobile force that the U.S. can use whenever they need, you know, a militia for hire. They never seem to get anything, but the U.S. is the only game in town, so they have to go along with it. I have no idea how the author here could know that the YPG is the basis of the SDF. Johnson's Law is operative there. The other option, of course, the U.S. can simply clear out of Syria. That's not even on the table. But there certainly is no, you know, Turkey and for a time, the American-backed ISIS were very close economically as well as militarily. So now that's over. And it's going to mean the end of that organization, it would seem. Because remember, out of nowhere, ISIS had a whole fleet of oil tankers. How that could possibly have come into existence, I don't know. But it proves, obviously, a Western backing. Turkey was the only customer. And Turkey not only was the only customer, but it also was the transit point for that oil to go elsewhere. So the entire American Mideastern experiment, even though it's failed, obviously, now has its death blow. This is the final nail in the coffin, to use a cliche.
Well, my guess would be that the other militants that America was backing have all gone off to join ISIS. They've all gone off to join all these various terrorist organizations. And the only ones that America can really rely on or that really seem to be supporting it is this Kurdish group. So, I mean, that's why I think this is why he's saying that the Syrian Democratic Forces are basically the YPG, because everyone else has gone off to join terrorist organizations. So, you know, I think the real thing that comes that strikes me about this is, you know, Turkey has got to be intending on leaving NATO to be making these demands, because these demands can't be met. And when they aren't met, then Turkey can say, well, America is supporting terrorists. America is supporting carving up Turkey. We don't want to be a part of NATO anymore. And we want to be allied with our friend Russia, who warned us that this coup was going to take place, not America, who didn't warn us, who is keeping hold of the main suspects in this coup, of plotting the coup. So we're going to leave. You know, I think this really does cement it, because America can't give in to these demands, and Turkey must know that. They've made these demands that cannot be accepted on purpose. You know, it's like their final two fingers up to NATO, really.
Yeah, if the very act of buying the SA-21 missile system from Russia, which is, you know, their flagship system, you know, obviously Turkey knew what the reaction was going to be. And since the coup, since he was able to purify the military, making it a pro-Russian Eurasianist force, investment from China and Russia is going to start coming in. Their whole economic world is going to shift from Europe to the East. And that's always a good thing. There is no, I mean, ultimately it comes down to economics. There is no economic future in the West. There's too much debt. There's too much, there's nothing there. The West is going to be a memory in most places anyway. So Turkey is they've simply had enough, and going to Russia, and they also are working with China for quite a number of years now. They're well aware of what the reaction is going to be. And so when that happens, already, you know, all of NATO's secrets have been handed over to the Chinese and to the Russians as well.
Well, that's going to be the worry as well, isn't it? How did Turkey get on with Iran? Because Iran seems to be the main country that we're hearing about at the moment. It's just hilarious hearing that John Bolton say, you know, the reason we're going after Iran is because they fight back. When Israel bombs Iranian troops in Syria, they fire back. And that's the reason why you've got to go after Iran. I mean, what is America even doing going after Iran in Syria? What is Israel doing bombing Syrian positions because they've got Iranian people in them in on Syrian land? It's absolutely insane. And to blame Iran for what's going on in Yemen as well, when the Saudis have got American and British advisors and they're using American and British weapons to just blow the hell out of the place, I don't know how they can blame Iran for that. So how does Iran fit in with Turkey? Have they got good relations with them? And what's your opinion on what's going on with Iran at the moment, Matt?
Well, it just so happens that the Turks supported one of the Iranian peace deals in Syria. The Iranian option was something publicly backed by the Turks. I don't know who else. So our relations are very, very good. And being a part of this anti-Western coalition now is automatic alliance with Russia, Belarus, Armenia, China, and Iran, and believe it or not, increasingly India. So the West is frightened. The liberals in the West are scared.
So we're really starting to get this multipolar world that Putin has spoken about for a long time now, about not wanting to just have a central axis of power and a new world order. He wants a multipolar world. And that's what it looks like is going to shape up to be, which is going to put a stop to the New World Order, put a stop to the plans of taking everything over. I mean, it's not often that we look at this side of it, more often concerned with Brexit and what's happening in Europe. But it's also important what's happening here. And, you've got to remember that Russia is also, mainly white. And they would be the guys that would really be pulling the shots in this as well. I don't know so much about India. We don't really hear much about them. But this is all really quite fascinating stuff. NATO has been the source of so many wars and so much of our problems. I know it's a big it's a platform of the National Front. They have two platforms. One is to repatriate the invaders, and the second platform is to dismantle NATO. Because NATO is the source of all these people claiming to be refugees, is because NATO is bombing their country. So if we can pull NATO apart, then they stop having an excuse for coming into our countries, and they won't have the ability to make these wars on behalf of Israel. It's really important.
It is. NATO defines itself as a liberal movement. It's an ideological movement, an armed one. Of 3.5 million soldiers, that seeks to, their statements are very clear. Multipolar world means that the assumption that liberalism is correct domestically goes away. This is how sea changes are made. It's not, this is essentially a lost war, and the U.S. has lost tremendous credibility, and therefore the liberalism that it promotes has lost credibility. And that has tremendous domestic repercussions. And I connect it to what's been happening to some of our people, and that the U.S. now is frightened, and it's going to consolidate its power at home to unify itself as much as humanly possible. And unfortunately, that means greater repression of the only enemy that the system has, and that's us.
Dr. E. Michael Jones talks a lot about this as well, about how America is exporting the gay disco all around the world, forcing that on countries, feminism and the sexual liberation and homosexuality, and enforcing it at the point of a gun. Either you don't get any food aid, or you have to promote homosexuality. And if you don't accept the food aid, then we'll send in the Islamic militants and try and turn the place into, destabilize the place. So that then we have to come in to sort things out. And this is what it's all about. And if Turkey pull out from NATO, then they haven't got that force anymore. They haven't got the boots on the ground. They won't even have any bases from which to enter into Syria from. This is important stuff, isn't it?
It is. And then Israel is now isolated. It's going to become far more difficult. Because you had a de facto alliance between Israel and Turkey as an American ally. You don't have that anymore. Now you have a huge army and a huge country you know, a first world country that's moving to the east, which means it's opposing Israel. So Zionism is feeling this pressure as well. When you just read, you know, you read in the mainstream press how viciously they're going after the Turkish government, you know that someone is scared, and it's a great thing. Unfortunately, I repeat myself, it means that the system is going to want to consolidate its power at home, and that means it's going to get rougher for some of us.
Well, we see that happening in Britain as well with the clampdown on free speech. And obviously, you know, our hearts go out to these people that are being persecuted just for speaking the truth. But we do have to have a bit of a ray of light. And this is a ray of light. It does look like NATO is going to fall apart. So thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Florian Geyer. God bless and hail victory. We'll be right back.